These Nuts.
Hey everyone, it's These Nuts. We are absolutely nuts about all things real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or borrowing, we cover the topics that matter to you, and even the ones you didn't know you needed to be concerned with. We are your hosts,
Shane Hollenbach, nationally recognized mortgage lender,
and Jason Crittenden, one of the highest ranked realtors in all of Arizona.
Jason, why does that matter?
Well, because we have some advice, we have some experience, and we believe you should pay attention.
And do we have any promises?
We do. We'll keep it short and sweet. We'll pump out quality daily content covering real estate questions you've been dying to ask for about selling a home, buying a home, or how to get finance.
You have questions?
We have answers. Alrighty, guys. Hey, listen, the episode today, we're going to be in Shane's playground. We're going to talk about pre-qualifications, and are all pre-qualifications the same? So I got a real quick story before we get into this. When I first started real estate, I worked with a lender. I really liked the guy. He was great. Johnny on the spot. One of the things I loved about him was if I had a client, we saw a house and we were ready to rock and roll, I'd ask him, you know, hey, can you send me an updated prequal? And he would always send prequals within like 10 minutes, right? I love that. And then I started getting a little bit smarter in the business, started learning a couple things, and I actually figured out that they were just asking for credit. They did a credit pull and asked them basically, how much money do you make? And based off that, they did a prequal. Shane, how good is that prequal?
It's not a prequal.
Right.
It's
Well, it was on a pre-qualification form, but
it was. And actually, we'll talk about that in a second. Because okay. Arizona is one of the rare states that actually has a specific real estate form for pre-qualification.
Okay.
Not a lot of states have that. So yes, it was given to you. It was signed by them and had their NMLS number. But I imagine there was a bunch of check boxes that said no.
Like for have you saw their W-2.
All of the things
have
that are involved.
Have you seen their bank statement?
Yep.
Have you seen their pay stubs?
I've received their income documentation. Yeah. I've received their asset documentation. If they're getting gifts, you know.
Why is that important? So like you're presenting to a seller, hey, I want to buy your house. Here's my quote unquote pre-qualification. If those boxes aren't checked, what does that maybe say to the other guy?
Well, I mean, plainly put?
Yes, plainly
put. It is worth as good as toilet paper.
Toilet paper, okay.
Because the reality is that you don't know. Somebody can tell you all they want. If it's not verified, that's where accidents can happen.
Let's give some examples. So like, for example, I'm going to tell you I make $80,000 a year.
Yes.
And I'm going to buy a house, $250,000 house.
And I'm going to say, Jason, is that a salary that you make? And that question might...
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I make some overtime.
How long have you been at this job?
Oh, does that matter? I don't know, like 2 months.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I also have a part-time job. Does that matter?
It can.
Matter?
Let's talk about your part-time job.
How long have you had it?
These are all things. Exactly. The lender goes a little bit deeper in there to make sure that, okay, A, you can use the income.
In other words, so just because I literally do make $80,000.
Exactly. I was just going
to
say
but
that.
But you might only be able to use $40,000.
There's real income. There's qualifying income.
Okay.
And qualifying income sometimes is exactly what your real income is, and sometimes you can't use it.
Okay.
Let's say you sell Christmas trees. You sold Christmas trees this year over the holiday as a second job.
Okay.
And you made 10 grand.
Okay.
Never done it before. You might not do it later.
Okay.
Right? Because you spent too many hours. You missed all this time. You're like, I'm not ever going to do that again. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not $10,000 in income that we can use to qualify for a repayment on a 30-year mortgage.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had mentioned Arizona. So we are in Arizona, and so we have what's called the AAR or Arizona Association of Realtors pre-qualification form. Ours is different than other states, or there are other states don't even have them at all?
Well, it's not that it's different. It's that most states don't have it. Most states, in a real estate transaction, the lender will provide a pre-qualification letter, mm-hmm, or a pre-approval letter.
Like on a form letter.
It would say like my company, Bay Equity Home Loans, it would say that on top. And then it would have like, we've talked to Mr. Borrower and they're basically pre-qualified for up to, and it gives kind of the terms that we've done the max qualification for.
For sure.
And then it will say things like subject to a good appraisal, subject to good title work. You know, if it says things like subject to a review of their income and asset documentation, again, toilet paper, because it hasn't been verified.
They haven't verified it yet. Yeah. Okay. Well,
Arizona just took it a step further and they made it part of the contract. So
yeah, that's, so you bring that up. So in Arizona, technically part of submitting a contract is you have to send that AAR pre-qualification form with it.
Yeah.
It requires it. And the reason why our association did that in our state was because it's very specific. Like when we, like when I get those letters from say Quicken, that mortgage, let's say, for example, they're real generic. It's just like, hey, this guy is good to go.
That, yeah.
You don't worry about anything else. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Very, very good. But I don't really know anything about what about them. But yeah. when I get our form, mm-hmm. Man, it, there's a lot of check boxes. I mean, there's nothing to hide. You cannot hide. It says,
well, our form,
do they need closing costs? Do they need,
yes. Is it subject to them selling a house?
Selling a house. Have you verified this?
One of the things, are they using down payment assistance? I think that's a little bit, digs a little deep.
Right.
However, it's not a perfect form.
Totally.
But there are the if I could change anything with AAR, if I had any influence on AAR, I would get rid of the no box. Because here's the deal. If I give you a pre-qual letter that you called me and said, hey, Shane, I got to get these guys pre-qualed. I ran their credit and mm-hmm. they told me they make 80 grand. And so when I say on that little section, have I verified their assets? It's yes or no. If I mark no, and have I verified their income? No.
Mm-hmm.
If I mark that, that means that I've completed the document, right? And the document is a legitimate document. It just doesn't have any legitimate information on it.
I gotcha.
So
they did their part.
So even though you have, your lender has provided that pre-qual, not all, again, that was the question. Are all pre-qualifications treated the same? Are they all equal? And the answer is no. It just depends on what the information is inside of them.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So they need to provide all pertinent documents. What about like kind of understanding that form, right? Like, on the listing side, for example, when I first got into real estate, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. I'd get a pre-qual like, oh, cool. The lender's.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's do this. And then over time, I started realizing like, well, there are yes or no boxes. And why does this one have a lot of no's?
Well, and the tough time to find out that there was a no box is mm-hmm. when you're 3 weeks into the transaction, inspections are done, appraisal's done, gets into underwriting, and the underwriter just slams it down because this isn't what you submitted is not real.
Right. Because not all loan officers are created equal either, right?
Exactly.
And so if you could have a new, pretty new loan officer 3 months on the job and they gave a pre-qual and they're like, yeah, this seems like it's good.
They didn't know. It's not like they were bad.
They don't know. And then it gets to underwriting. Underwriting's like, are you for real? Yeah. You even brought this
really good learning opportunity for that loan officer, but it just wasted your time, wasted the seller's time, agents, buyers, everybody.
Everybody. Okay. Yeah. And then, that leads me to another point. I think this is probably going to be a totally different podcast, but that's a pre-qualification form. I've heard some people call them a pre-approval form, but I've learned that pre-approval and pre-qualification, two totally different things, right? Yeah.
They're both good, right? Mm-hmm. They're both good to have, except one is just deeper than the other.
One's a minimum. Right.
Yep. At least there's been eyeballs on the qualifying pieces, the borrower's qualifying pieces, the income and the assets. A pre-approval just takes it a step further and it actually has an underwriter look at it.
Okay. And then we'll do a whole another podcast about that.
Now, one thing that I did want to say, going back to, because you had brought up some of the larger cap, you can go online. Like right now, I could go on any one of the big cap mortgage companies online mm-hmm. and I can say, this is my name, this is my date of birth, this is my income, this is how long I've lived at this
address.
And when
you say, you're just filling out a form.
I'm literally just filling out the form. It's whatever I say.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean that it translates in what they can actually use, but that's not what it's asking.
They're trying to make it easy on you.
Make it easy, and then I hit a button, and it spits out a pre-qual form, and then I call you, and I go, hey, Jason, I'm pre-qualified. And then you, not knowing any better, mm-hmm. right, early on,
totally.
You go off.
Yeah.
So it gives everybody this like false sense of security is probably not the right word, but
it's they think
false sense of accomplishment and that we've actually arrived at this pre-qual that we can go out and make bona fide offers on properties and be treated legit.
Totally. And this is totally off subject, but in the same vein of just them spitting out something, those guys also sometimes will say you qualify for a 1.1, some stupid rate.
Yeah.
And then they come to us, they're like, hey, look, I got this awesome rate. Like, no, you don't have that rate because they can't deliver because it takes them 60 days to even write a loan.
Yes.
And there's no seller is going to sit around and wait for that anyway. But anyway, that's another
episode.
Podcast as well.
Yes.
So, hey, let's wrap this up. I would say that's that. But what's the one takeaway that the average common Joe could take away from this podcast?
Well, it's for two. It's going to be for the consumer. Just make sure that you understand that pre-qual, that it is a legitimate pre-qual. Mm-hmm. If they issue you a pre-qual letter and you have not given them your W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns, the important stuff for them to review, then it is not a legitimate pre-qual. It will save you problems later.
And that's solid gold.
Yes, if you live in Arizona and you're looking to
buy or sell or get a mortgage or refinance. We'd love to earn your business. Text LOAN to 602-975-2772 to reach Shane about buying or refinancing strategies. Text HOME to Jason at 602-975-2772 if you're looking to sell or buy in Arizona, or if you need a referral for out of state from my expansive national network. Guys, thanks for listening. Catch these real estate nuts on the flip side.